always has a testimony that she would like to share with us today.
Thank you. This isn't as exciting as a being healed of cancer testimony, but it was pretty special to me, so let me just share it with you. After 3 months of recovering from an automobile accident, I had started working, and I worked 3 weeks delivering auto parts. Life seemed good. I put my dog outside on a tie-out chain and was walking to my house, and my other little dog saw something in front of me and ran toward it. And when he did, he knocked me forward on my hands and face. I hit my head, and I tried to get up. My left arm did not work, so it was obviously dislocated. So I lay there on the ground without my cell phone, naturally, and I struggled to get up and come inside, and the pain was extreme in my left elbow. I called my husband, Tim, and he came and took me to Calvert Memorial Hospital. They took me in and x-rayed my elbow and head and neck and spine. And everything seemed okay. And the nurse came back in and she looked very serious. And she said to me, "You should lie flat and not move. You've broken your neck." The doctor came in very serious and said to both of us that I had a clear break in the C2 of my neck. I questioned him about it because when I was in the wreck, I hurt my C3 and had not completely recovered. He asked about the wreck. He went back and looked at the x-rays again and said, "We're going to life flight you out to Washington Hospital Center. They're better equipped to help you with this injury." He stated to us, "This is life-threatening, and if it's not treated properly, I could be paralyzed or die." He also would not even attempt to touch my arm to set it because he was afraid, because my neck looked so fragile. I was packed up and flown to Washington Hospital Center. Tim, my husband, called everyone and had them start to pray. During the 15-minute flight, I got a miracle. I was totally asleep because they tranquilized me to keep me from moving my neck. When I woke up 2 hours later, my arm was set, and I still had just a neck brace on. The doctor came in and told me he was more concerned about my elbow than my neck. When they x-rayed my neck, it had healed, and that it was just strained, not broken. I was kept in the hospital the next day, and they sent me home to recover. After a week, I followed up with a specialist who also x-rayed my neck. He only found the C3 herniated disc, not a break. He told me that my elbow should be in a cast at least 6 weeks. In 2 weeks, it healed 6 weeks worth. And at the second week, he checked me and told me that I didn't need to come back in unless I started to have trouble with it. I also had 2 chipped bones in my arm, and occasionally they hurt because they move around. He told me that I shouldn't need surgery on my elbow unless the chips move a lot, and then it would be only a small incision to remove the chips. I went to Calvert Memorial Hospital after I started to recover and got my records and the doctor's report. I got a letter from the chief of emergency surgery that I had a broken neck, and the complications of it were death or paralysis. I thank God that he healed me and that I recovered miraculously from the dislocated elbow. I realize that when you're strapped on a backboard and being flown to a hospital, thinking that you're going to wake up in a halo or paralyzed or not wake up at all, it makes you realize every day that we wake up breathing and moving. We all have a miracle. I've started a new job that doesn't require lifting or driving with a hurt arm, and I just wanted to share with you the story of my miracle.
You go back to your office.
I forgot to bless the children.
Okay,
children, come forward.
The pastor needs to go to his office. Too much pressure.
Got them all? Okay. Well, Heavenly Father, we do thank you for each and every one. We ask that you would continue to bless them, to minister to them, to work in their lives, so that as they grow, they would be true warriors for you, true warriors in your kingdom. Father, I just pray that they would be children of peace.
Jesus' name, amen. You are dismissed.
Morning, everybody.
Good to go.
Good to go. Okay, let's start in prayer. Father, I thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to share what you've put in my heart, Lord. And I ask that you would join us, Lord, and remove me, God, and that you would have every heart hear what they need to hear, Lord. I thank you for that in Jesus' name. Morning, everybody. And it's a beautiful morning. At least it has signs of it. If we have a day like we had yesterday, I'll be happy. Because on a scale of 1 to 10, yesterday had to be a 20. Did anybody go out and do anything? It was gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous. Well, we've all been awaiting spring. It's something that we all long for. And I remember when I was a child, I used to live in New Jersey. And I'd walk to school. It was a city. So I would walk like 6 or 8 blocks to school. There was this little house that had this tree that just overhung on the fence. And I remember that winters in New Jersey were just dark and gloomy and blah. It's like the sun never shined. It was just really depressing to me. But when I saw the little buds on that tree hanging over the fence walking to school, it was like, yay, spring is coming. So even then, I remember getting happy when the season came in. After that, I lived in Florida for quite a few years, and I had forgotten that feeling. I had forgotten the feeling of spring because we all know that Florida has 2 seasons. It's got summer and summer. I'm going to talk about seasons, and I'm going to talk about trees. I know this might sound weird, but I'm not a tree hugger, but the Lord often uses trees when he speaks to me. Not when he talks about what I do or the way I think or horrible things, but when he talks to me about me, about who I am, who I'm supposed to be, what he's already done in my life. He just shows me my spiritual growth. He shows it to me in trees. And after all these years, I thought there's really nothing else that he can show me in relation to a tree. I mean, how much could there be? But he's got a lot of resources. So I had been pressing him for what am I supposed to speak on? And I'd been thinking about it for a while because I knew that this day was coming several months in advance. But I had been thinking about it. Finally, I said, we're getting down to the core here and I really don't know what we're doing. But I'd been pressing him on and off for quite a while. And he always speaks to me when I least expect it. So today I am going to talk about trees and their seasons, and I'm going to use this as an illustration. I'm going to have a visual first. We could do the visual. So that's what it looks like in the natural, if you're looking at it from that perspective. There's the spring, the summer, the fall, and the winter. That's not the way it has to be, though. The Lord also showed me that there are seasons in heaven. And this is what that would sound like. God has a different perspective. Although the seasons that he has given us are beautiful, and they each have their plan and their purpose, just as all of his creation does. We all know that God has a plan and a purpose, and that he created all things for a reason and a function. We hear that throughout our entire Christian walk. He set all things in place, and he set them in the order that they need to sustain his creation. For example, he doesn't need to remind the earth to spin on its axis. It does it. And he doesn't tell the water to form on the clouds in order for rain to come down. He also doesn't tell the trees, the birds, or the bees to reproduce. It happens. And I say that it happens because he said it one time. He spoke it thousands of years ago, and it still happens because it was his purpose to set that in place. And I'd like to make a footnote on that. When the Lord speaks something, it's done. So we need to be careful that when we speak things, that we speak things in accordance to what he's already said. We have been redeemed, and the things that we say have power just as much as what he said has power. So when we do speak, we need to speak those things that we know are in his heart and in his word. So at the time that he created everything, he also provided the seasons which purpose the creation. And that's where they're defined. They're defined in seasons. For example, you have some trees that provide fruit. Some provide shade. Some provide beauty. And others provide shelter. And each type of experience, these seasons, they experience their provision. It prepares it for the provision. Seasons have their effect. They have their effect on trees, and they have their effect on us. It's spring, so I want to start with spring. And I think that that's the one that we look towards the most. We notice his arrival first with flowering trees. They're magnificent. They're a thing of beauty. I find that I can be driving home from work in the middle of the evening, and the trees just appear to be sitting there dead, winter trees. But by morning, when I drive out to work, boom, it's like all of a sudden there's flowers on these branches. So we notice the arrival of spring mostly, at least I do, through a flowering tree. If you think about the way that a tree flowers in that perspective, with that illustration, that they just basically they come forth with a bang. Sometimes you see on TV where people take drama and they say, feel this or feel that or whatever. I never took the drama, but I'm going to try. When a tree comes into the spring and it blooms, it's like, boom, there's the bloom. And then it's like, ta-da! And then it's like, you see all the little petals fly away with just the slightest hint of a breeze. The petals fly away. And before you know it, you have these little piles of leaves flurrying everywhere. And the tree is yet now flowerless. But soon, the bright, shady leaves come into effect. By late summer, these trees they've done it. They're weary, they're dry, they're tired, they've bloomed, and they've taken all of their energy and all of their nutrient to do the thing that they were created to do, to bloom and to put out the leaves. Well, these leaves get weary, and then they start getting tired of taking the nutrient, and they start drying up. But they're not just going to dry up. Fall around here is a beautiful season. And we know when they dry up in another glory of color. Before they go, they leave in another explosion of glory. And they're left naked, bare. They're left exposed to the elements and vulnerable. They look dead, but they're not dead. They're really just resting. They're regaining their strength for the next big ta-da. There are some trees that bloom a little flower, or maybe they don't bloom at all. They soak up the water and the sun, and they concentrate on feeding themselves. They dig in deep and wide, and they take up all the water and the leaves and the nutrients that they can take up. And when the sun comes up, they hold their leaves out, and they just take it all in. In their season, they provide fruit. Now, in order for them to provide good fruit, fruit that is delicious, it has to be planted in a healthy environment, properly fertilized, and pruned. Its branches will be heavy with its fruit, and the fruit will not be wasted. Whatever we don't eat as humans, whatever we don't eat, the birds, the deer, the squirrels, the little critters will come and eat, and then that seed will fall, and the ground will suck it up, and out will come yet another tree. They will give fruit for a season. Whether they give good fruit or not so good fruit, they will give it for a season. But the time will come when they too will lose their leaves and in the winter again appear dead, but they're dormant. Now there's another kind of tree, a tree that goes, I would say, almost unnoticed. It's got thick trunk and prickly leaves, and I don't know if you can call it blooms, but if you were to call it blooms, they're really not all that attractive. They don't require a lot of nutrient. They do require water, and they know that they need to take that water, and they're careful to retain it, and they retain it for the seasons that are dry, because they know that the dry seasons are coming. So during the storms, they fare the weather with flexible limbs and flexible trunks, and they bend. They bend and they sway when the weather calls for it. They don't appear to shed their leaves. If you look at them, they look constant. But the reality of it is that their leaves are always shedding. They're continually shedding. You just don't see it because the new leaf kind of pushes out the dead leaf. And if it wasn't for what you find on the ground, you wouldn't even realize that it had shed. They're quiet and they're unnoticed, but they provide shelter and stability for hundreds of God's creatures all of the seasons. All these trees are a blessing. I mean, they are to me and they are to a lot of people I know. They create beauty. They give us a landscape. They let us see the transition from one place to another. If you have a nice drive to and from where you're going, they're pleasant. And they're all a blessing in their own way. And again, they all have their purpose for their reason for their existence. I'm sure you're wondering, what does that have to do with me? You come to church on Sunday morning and I'm going to hear about a tree. Okay. I told you that God talks to me in strange ways and when I least expected. So last month I was getting dressed to go to work, and I have this really big window that goes out to our backyard. And I was getting dressed, and as I was getting dressed, I kind of like looked out the window, and I just said it out loud. I said, "Wow, that evergreen tree has grown a lot this winter." And before I even finished saying it, I heard the Lord say, "Like you, this is the tree you're becoming." So when I heard that, it was like a rush of thoughts, all sorts of different angles and trees, and basically the information that I've given you so far came to me in this message, and it had to be developed. And the Lord asked me, "Isn't this the kind of tree that you want to be?" By that time, I was really on my way out to work already, and it just kept in the back of my head. So when I drove to work, I was really much more conscious of the trees and the landscaping on the way over. So if we use this illustration, the three different types of trees and their seasons, what does it say about us? First, we know that there is a plan and there is a purpose for our existence in this time and space. And while we're here, there is something on a daily basis, and it's not out there. It's today. It's not when you get there. It's the journey. It's whatever God planned or purposed for you today. There are times of growth when let's start with the blooms. There's times of blooms when we're excited about what the Lord is doing in our lives. Things are good, things are happening well, we're happy, and it's just a time where we could say we've bloomed. There's also times of growth and fruit when we see the benefit of our support and our testimony to someone else. We've seen where we've grown and we have been of service to someone. And that's where we see our fruit. And then there's times of dryness. There's times when you're tired, just tired, and you get burnt out. You're out there plugging away every day, and you get burnt out. There are times of pruning when the Lord purposefully deals in our lives. And sometimes, like the trees in the fall, when the fall comes, we try to hang on to those dead leaves. You know, here's the fall, they're all dried up, we're all dried up, we're in a fall season, and we hang on and try to hang on to these dead leaves. These dead leaves could be things. They could be, they're things that are truly dead. They're ideas, traditions, relationships, ministries, jobs, thoughts. Because that's what we know. We grow comfortable in these things. And whatever it is that we're hanging on to, we wonder, well, what would we be without them? And a lot of times, there are things that we feel that we worked hard for. It's like, I worked hard for this. I deserve to hang on to this. And it doesn't matter that it's no longer useful. Sometimes it doesn't matter that you don't even see that it's no longer useful. You just say, this is the way I've done it because this works for me. And if it's not broke, why fix it? Well, if it's not useful, why hang on to it? Why waste the energy and the nutrient like the leaf does to try to hang on to that leaf? When the wind of the Lord comes, just let it go, because you're just going to be in a different season. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be a bad thing. It's just going to be different. But we don't like change. So even when there's no longer a use for it, we erroneously define ourselves in the successes or the titles that we hold. We think to be stripped of this is somehow to be stripped of who we are. We also experience times when the Lord is working on us, like the trees that have to get pruned. They get cut back in order to grow stronger. Or there's the winter when we feel like our line of communication with God is no longer there, where we're really going through a time where we think that we're totally alone, that we've been left in the cold, and that we're without protection. And that's not true. When I was reviewing this message last night, it reminded me of our first home. Our first home was new construction. And I remember that the builder had said, sometimes the trees get disturbed and they have to be removed during the construction process. Sometimes either equipment hits it or the root gets messed up. But basically he said that we had 6 months after we closed on the house, we had 6 months in order to let them know that the tree is dead and he'll come and they'll remove it at no cost. There was this one tree. And this one tree had a gash in the trunk. I mean, you could see it was a huge gash. And I thought to myself, that tree is going to die. The sap was like gooey. I mean, it was sappy where the part of the bruise was. And I said, that tree's going to die. So I watched it. And I knew that I had 6 months. And I kept watching it. And it didn't look like it had changed any from the day that I first noticed the gash there. So I called him. And I had said, I mean, I told him, well, this tree's definitely dead. I want to make sure that we remove it in the six-month period. I mean, I certainly didn't want to spend the money to have to remove it myself, like in the seventh month. So he came by and he said it wasn't. And that this was like 3 months into it. I called him back and I said, look, nothing's happened with this tree. This tree is dead. He finally said to me, the tree is in its dormant stage. If it doesn't produce leaves in the spring, call me. And even though it's after the 6 months, I'll take care of it. So I thought, all right. Well, spring came and so did the leaves. It took about 3 years for that tree to really grow into the beautiful shady tree that it became. And when we were ready to put a playset out there, when we had our kids and we put our playset out there, we put it under that big shady tree. It's so important for us to realize that we do go through different seasons. And it's not just us going through those seasons, but that everyone goes through them. And like that tree that we almost cut, we have to be very careful not to write someone off because we think they're dead. They're just bruised. They're just bruised, and they're in a season where God is working on them. But that's what they are. They are seasons. We tend to think when we're in one of those seasons that it's going to last forever. You know, if it's spring, woohoo, it's beautiful, everything's great, life is grand, and other seasons come in and we think that it's going to be there forever, but it's not. And in each of those seasons, like that tree, it just grew. It had to go through several springs, several summers, several falls, and several winters. but it was not the same tree. And it's also not the same tree that I saw in my yard the day the Lord spoke to me. When I looked at that evergreen tree, it's like I don't understand. It appeared to have grown like maybe 3 or 4 feet. Evidently, it didn't do that overnight. I just didn't notice it. Sometimes the Lord brings us through seasons just to show us where we're at. We think that we're all there. You know, we're ready. We've walked in the Lord, or we're new, but we think that we have the answers. We've experienced this before. One of those examples would be trust. How many here trust the Lord? That's right. No, like really. How many here generally trust the Lord? Okay, now how many here trust the Lord for provision? You know that you will never hunger and you will never run around naked? Thank God. Some of you here, I will close. But we say that we trust the Lord, and then we trust the Lord when there's one situation or when there's another situation. How many here trust the Lord when your kids get the driver's license? That's a whole other level. Yeah, you. That's a whole other level of trust, boy, I'll tell you. I never prayed so much until that little plastic thing came available. So we say that we trust the Lord, and we do. We honestly do trust the Lord at that level, at that day, for those challenges. But if we don't go through these seasons and allow ourselves to be strengthened and allow ourselves to learn that we have to take our roots and dig deeper into the water to be able to suck up what we need, and that we need to stretch higher as branches and find the warmth of the sun, S-O-N. If we don't do these things, then we're just going to grow to be this little twig that can be to and fro, snapped, eaten by animals. We're just not going to grow. So when the Lord has us in these seasons, we have to realize this is a season, even when you're in the whirlwind of all of it, and know that you will come out. And the good news about it is that when the Lord takes us, He has a plan. And every time we do this, His plan is always, always, no matter what we're going through, His plan is always to have a closer relationship with us. He wants us to come closer to Him. So here's the question. Be careful how you answer it. The question is, what kind of tree do you want to be? I know you guys can't imagine yourself going, pop, ta-da, as a spring tree, but what kind of tree do you want to be? You can be like a tree of beauty, and it will do that in the spring. It'll be beautiful, and it'll just say, look, I am here. This is God created me. God created me for you. And that is a sign, as far as this illustration goes. It's immature and it's shallow. It's an all about me thing. It's all about the bloom. And after the bloom, when the little leaves just go away, the little blooms go away, the leaves provide shade. But in all honesty, your emotional needs make you useless to other people because you're not steady. You're like here and there, and you're focused on yourself. And eventually I was going to get to a scripture. So if we can go to Ephesians 4:14. says that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine. There is a time for that, but there's always a time to get out of that. This tree could just be representative of a new Christian or a Christian that has not put any effort in their growth in a relationship with the living God. We should desire to mature. It's okay that we're there, but our desire should be to mature and to search out the truth, to gain the solid understanding of who we are in Christ. The other tree that you could choose to be like is the fruit tree, seeking spiritual growth. Just getting into every Bible study, getting into every group that you can, trying to find and get testimonies, information, things that will strengthen you, things that will make you grow, things that will challenge you. You could be that type of tree. And Psalm 1:3 says, I'm sorry, Psalms 1:1-3. It said, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but is delighted in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper." That's a good tree to want to be. Jeremiah 17:7-8. "Blessed is the man who trusts the Lord, and whose hope is the Lord. For he shall be like a tree planted by the waters, which spreads out its roots by the river, and will not fear when the heat comes, but its leaf will be green, and will be not anxious in the year of drought, nor will it cease from yielding fruit." This is a good thing. This is what others will eat of. This is what others that are in the other tree stage or in the other season stage will look forward to. We should desire to sit at the feet of Jesus, at the feet of his revelation and wisdom. And we have to be careful that the reason for our hunger is for our growth, and that growth be the purposes of the kingdom. That it's not something that we would desire for the fruit itself, so that we can stand there and say, "Ooh, look at my luscious fruit. Would you like it?" Walking around, I mean, I translate that into somebody that walks around, "Ooh, glory to God. Oh, I met the Lord today, and he met me in the garden, and he spoke to me and told me, and blah, 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 blah." And you're like, "Great, what good is that for me?" So we need to be careful that it's not about the fruit, that we don't sound super spiritual. You could choose to be like the evergreen tree, strong, stable. I want you to take a minute and look at any given variation of this type of tree. It's the staple of any landscape. When landscapers go out there and they plan a beautiful area outside an office building or outside your home, they look at trees that are going to be accentuated during every season. So if you're getting landscape, make sure you have some kind of evergreen shrub, bush, tree, something in there so that the place doesn't look dead. Because basically that's what it is. In the landscape, they maintain the stability. They maintain form. They maintain the greenery. They maintain color when everything around it appears to be dead. Now, these evergreen trees have no bang, no ta-da. They have no beautiful, luscious fruit, but they are a haven. They're a haven to others during times of confusion, times of turmoil or suffering. They're steady. Psalm 104:16. "The trees of the Lord are full of sap, and the cedars of Lebanon which he planted. Where the birds make their nests, the stork has her home in the fir trees." This tree in my yard. I had been out there at one point, and I guess I startled what was in there, not knowing that it was in there. I just passed by the tree, and I had made a noise of some sort, and a bunch of birds just flew out. They startled me. I'm like, "What is all of that doing in this little tree?" It's like, where were they? Because you would not even know that they were there. I noticed at that time, when I saw the bunch of trees flying out, that it was a haven. Whenever our dog or critters found themselves running for cover. Now, whenever the dog goes out, the critters just, they jump into the tree because the dog goes around everywhere barking at them. Now, normally, it just sits there, and it looks pretty much the same year-round. Unnoticed, easy to overlook. But when it's raining, snowing, windy, or when Peanut, our dog, is out there, there it is. It's safe. It's dependable. It's a haven. The question lies, what tree do you want to be? I thank you for your time. I thank you I'll leave the open call, the altar call portion open to you.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you.
Oh, wait a minute. I forgot there's one thing on here that I dropped. In Ecclesiastes, in chapter 3, it says this: there's an appointed time for everything, and there's a time for every event under heaven, a time to give birth, a time to die, a time to plant, and a time to uproot what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, and it goes on. There is a season for everything. And that's a bit what Alexia was getting at. The importance for us is to recognize what season we're in, where we're going. Are we in our time of growth? Are we in our time in which we just have a lot of stuff that's going on, and where things seem to be falling off? Is it time where we're just in incredible time of pain in which the Lord is bringing us through just a rough period so that on the other side we might bloom and bear some fruit? I particularly enjoyed her analogy regarding the trees for us to make a decision about what type of tree do you want to be. And I really liked what she was talking about with her tree in her first home that had the gash that was seemed to be severely wounded and she thought was dead. And this is what she said: don't write someone off because you think they're dead. An important point, but I want to take it one step further. Don't write yourself off because you think you're dead. There may be times where you just think that there's no more. There's nothing more that I can offer the Lord. I have been torn down. I have been destroyed. I have done something that is absolutely unforgivable. I am a complete and total and utter failure. And there's nothing more that I can do. Don't write yourself off because you think you're dead. Because that's a lie. Just like all the other lies that you probably had been had bought into prior to that. Please stand. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you as a family, but also as individuals, because each of us are going through a unique season in our life. And Lord, we ask for your spirit of revelation to come upon us, to show us, to make it clear what season of life we're in. Father, it is our heart, it is our prayer that we would grow beyond a sapling, that we would grow to be the strong thing, the strong being that you had intended for us, that we would truly be people of God who offer a refuge, who offer a haven to people who are hurting. And so for that to happen, that means that we have to walk it out. We have to go through seasons ourselves. But Father, we know that you also offer that promise that you will never fail us, you will never forsake us. And for that, Lord, we are grateful. And Father, we ask that it would be our heart, that would grow stronger in you each day, that we would trust you more, as it said in your word, that we would meditate more on your word, that we would truly grow to be trees that are firmly rooted and firmly rooted in your love. And we thank you. We ask this in the precious name of your Son, Jesus. Amen. You are dismissed. You can go that way if you wish. Do we have a snack and yak today? Okay. You can go that way to snack and yak if you wish. If you're looking for some time for ministry, you can come forward this way. And we have people who will pray for you. Thank you.